You can be seated. There have been some ups and downs, but never no ins and outs. All right. Amen. We've got discouraged many times. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know what? We've hung in there. Now, let me give you a little statement. This is country, and this is country sin. You can listen to my voice and tell I'm country, but sometimes you just got to hang in there like a hare in a biscuit. It's hard to get rid of it. You hang in there. We've been living for God 52 years. And I was an alcoholic, stayed drunk every day of my life. Raised in church, knew what to do, knew I needed the Holy Ghost, but I just kept right on butting with my own head till God finally got my attention.
All right.
Amen. I'm going to talk to us tonight about the danger. It's a dangerous thing. To be out of focus with God.
Yes.
I saw what inspired this message, which was several years ago. I don't remember now where I even saw it. I think it may have been at Canton, Texas, or somewhere they had pictures there. And I saw a picture, a close-up of a hummingbird eating out of a flower. And all the feathers and all the everything about that picture was just in complete focus. You could see everything so clear and so plain. Now, we live in the country. And our bedroom, the windows open up. And every morning, about the first thing I do, well, I'll go to there and pull that curtain back. And I'll look out in my backyard. And on the dresser right there, or nightstand, whatever, I've got a pair of binoculars. And I'll take those binoculars, and I said I'm a country boy, so that means I live on deer meat mostly. But not out of season, okay? Let me get that straight. I can't say I haven't never done that, but I don't no more. I ain't done it 3 or 4 days. So anyway, I'll take those binoculars and I'll look down at the barn and I feed deer down there and I'll look to see if my deer are there and I'll have to focus those binoculars, you know, to get it right. And then my wife has got, I know, 10 hummingbird feeders and she'll have about 75 hummingbirds buzzing all around me. But you know what? I'll have to take those binoculars. And I can't look at those hummingbirds the way I do those deer way down at 150 yards of that barn. I'll have to take those binoculars and bring them in, focus in real close where I can see them. Now, if you've never done this, you can try it. It'll work. I don't know how the hummingbirds are up here, but you can. I'll just stand right by a post, and you just be still, and they'll be that close to you. In a little while, they'll come, and they'll be just humming right there in front of you. And it's so beautiful to watch when you can see everything, every movement, and the tongue going in and out. And it's just beautiful because it's in focus. Well, you know, it's a beautiful thing when you're in focus with God. When you can see and feel Him. The Bible said that we're supposed to walk in the light of His countenance. His countenance is, if I go over here and look at Brother Calvin, I just look into his face, and I just look, that's who. Somebody made me do that. And you just look in their face until you get focused real close. And I heard a story years ago that I want to share with you tonight. It was a story of a little girl about 4 or 5 years old, and she was down saying her prayer before she went to sleep. And she got down on her knees by her bed, and she was talking to God, and in a minute she burped. And this child, like faith, she said, "Oh, excuse me, Jesus, I didn't mean to burp in your face." It's funny, but it's real. You know, where's God when we're praying? You know, people can talk and they say they're talking to God, but if you're not in his countenance, it's not meaning that much. There's no communication there. It's more than just saying words. You got to have some feeling. There's got to be some touch there. You got to be in contact. This ain't part of my notes tonight, but years and years ago, I preached a message. I was reading the newspaper one day, and it had a picture of a lady, and her name was Miss Celia Kane. This had probably been at least 20, 25 years ago I preached that message. And I called it Losing Contact with the Power Supply. And it said Miss Celia Kane died 15 minutes after being taken off of her life support because there was nothing there pumping that life into her. You got to be in touch with God. We need to walk with God. We need to talk with God. We need to live for God. It needs to be an experience. Amen. Walk with the Lord. Amen. Praise the living God. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him, and he besought him to touch him, and he took him by the hand. Now, Jesus took him by the hand, but nothing happened yet. He just took him by the hand. And as he began to walk with him, and he began to talk with him maybe, then he turned around and Jesus touched him. He spit on his eyes and he touched him. And they become one for a while. Amen. When we can become one with God, when we can come in contact with that supply, you know what? We could bring the best vacuum cleaner salesman in the world in here tonight and let him just tell us all about this vacuum cleaner, what it will do and all that, these keyboards and all that, and tell us what all they'll do. But if that, when he plugs it in, if there's no juice there, it don't work. All the talking's in vain. We can tell the world about how great our God is.
Yes.
But what is he doing in our lives? Are we in contact with him? Are we walking and talking and living for God with all of our heart? You know, the first commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength. Amen. A part of it's not going to do it. There's got to be a communication there. There's got to be some focus upon God, his ways, his laws, and his statutes. The Bible said in Jeremiah 6 and 16, I believe it is, Stand ye in the ways and see. Now, there's a lot of ways out there. There's grandpa's way, grandma's way, uncle's way, aunt's way, cousin's way. But it's because it was their way don't mean it was God's way. I'm not looking for my grandpa's way. I'm looking for God's way and my way. I've got to have the relationship with God myself. Amen. I know some good folks that are very close friends of ours. And I'm not putting down on any religion. Okay, I'm just going to tell you what was said. We were there visiting with them and this and that, and she let us know right off the bat. She told my wife, and I said, I'm going to tell you right now, I said, my grandma was saved, and she's a good Baptist. My wife said, okay. She said, good Baptists make good Pentecost. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus took this man and he touched him and he said, as the Bible said, asked him, did he see aught? And he looked around and he said, I see men as trees walking. You look like a good tree. Come over here now. Now, this man had been blind all his life. All he ever knew was he'd go around, he stick your arms out, make some limbs. Higher, pick them up higher. Put them on those droopy trees. And this man, he was blind, and he would feel of that tree. Said, I see men as trees walking. Now, I don't know how Brother Calvin feels about this, Brother Ward, but I kind of feel like he was out of focus.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And God needed, the Lord needed to touch him again so he could get him in focus. Right. And he prayed for him again. And he said, now I see every man clearly. I want it right.
I want it right.
I want it straight.
Yes.
I want it true.
Yes.
Woo, I want it godly. I want it holy.
Yes.
He said, be ye holy as I am holy. If you're out of focus, you'll never understand what holiness means. Amen. Holiness is living for God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Obeying the pastor, obeying the word of God, obeying truth. And you know what he said? If you love me, keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous to you. It don't bother me to live for God. It don't bother me to live holy. I don't have to get up every morning and wonder what I'm going to wear. I can go to my closet and I ain't got nothing in there. That's not godly. I ain't got anything in there that I can't wear out and worry about being ashamed of it. It's got to be right. It's got to be true. And it's got to be holy. Like I said, I can't help what your grandma did or your grandpa did or anybody else did. The Bible said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. If there's ever been an untoward generation, it's this one that we're living in.
Oh, yeah.
It's backwards and it's messed up.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Hand me that bag over there, bro. Now I'm going to ask the question, and I don't want anybody over 20 to answer this question. I'm going to get a few answers, but I got to have the right answer. If you're over 20, don't answer. Does anybody know what this is?
We got three people in here.
Well, that's all right. They may be smart. Anybody under 20, 20 and under, know what this is? A what? No. Well, where'd you go from? Blinder. Now, most 9 out of 10 people would say a bridle. But how did you know this was a blinder?
Henry knows a little bit about everything.
You from the country?
Nope.
Okay. Now, you could have had a crowd of 1,000 here tonight 50 years ago, and everybody would have knew what this was. This goes on a mule or a horse. Y'all think he'd make a better mule or a horse? I'll ask his mind. Come here. What would he make a better mule or a horse? Side. And I was thinking about this. I'm going to quote it in just a second. But I was thinking about this the other day. And it's a, when a preacher's preaching, has a lot to do with the way he says things. Now, John wrote that, and he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Come on, you think that's the way he said it? Love not the world. Hear me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man or woman love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all sin comes under those three categories. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. For all that is in the world, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father. It ain't of God. We don't need it in the church. We don't need it in our lives as an individual. Amen. He said the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me read a little more here. I may be a little more than 20 minutes tonight. Psalm 121, 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. If you look up, make sure you're seeing something. You know, we've lived to see a day when Pentecost has become so mechanical. Is this all right, Brother Calvin?
Yeah, it's good.
It's so mechanical.
Yeah.
People look up, but they're not seeing anything. If you want to live for God, you're going to have to get in focus. Amen. That scripture I just read said, the world passes away in the lust thereof. This ain't our home.
No.
This ain't our final resting place. This is not where we decided to hang our hat and we're going to just live here and then we die and we're gone and it's all over. I made up my mind a long time ago. I want to go to heaven.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
Come on. How many of y'all got faith?
Amen.
How many of y'all love your pastor?
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? I thank God for good pastors. You know what? I'm glad this man's your pastor, but I wish he wasn't. You know why? Because I tried to get him to take my church before I retired, and he said he didn't feel it. Sometimes all of us miss it. No, I'm glad that he obeyed God. I wanted him to take my church, but he said, I don't feel it. Maybe I'd have got mad at him being my son. I'd have wanted to whoop him or something, you know. But you know what? The Bible said that he'll give you pastors according to his heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So you thank God that God sent you a good pastor that you can hear. You know what? Anybody can stand up and preach a message. Anybody, I mean, I didn't say there was anointing anybody did it, but they can preach a message, they can get something together. But it takes a man of God to feel the burden of a church and feed you with knowledge and understanding at times when it hurts him more than it does you to do it. I know when I was pastor, there were times I went home and cried because of what I preached. It hurt me. But I had to say it to try to save people. Thank God that you got somebody that wants to save you and this church and this community. Hear what he's got to say. Don't reject him, because let me tell you something. You hear him. Everybody in here hear me. You can't get crossed up with your pastor and be right with God. That's a book. Study it out. Read it. You want to be right with God, be right with your pastor. It'll work out good. It'll all work well. The light of the body is the eye. That's Luke 11:3. Therefore, when your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is evil, the body is full of darkness. The word single here means to see clearly. When your eye is single, you see things clearly. You know what? I've seen people over the years say they love God, say they love truth, and they'll be faithful to church. But when things are preached, they don't like it. They just don't like it. And they got their mind made up. They're not going to do it. Well, you know what I told them when I was pastoring? And maybe I was wrong. But if you don't like what's preached around here, go find somewhere you do. You know? You're supposed to be happy in this church. And you'll be happy when you learn to obey the word. You know what? If you don't love truth, everything he says will be a commandment. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go there. You can't wear this. You can't wear that. It's because you've never fell in love with truth and holiness.
All right.
When you fall in love with truth and holiness, you'll love the word.
Amen.
You'll love the word. Whether by... Let's see, I'm trying to think of that scripture. It says, talking about, I think we've talked about it today, about tradition. Hold fast to traditions wherein you have been taught, whether by word or epistle, whether it's by some preacher preaching it, or if you get it out of the Bible, it's still the truth. Amen. The Bible don't come right out and tell us everything. He leaves some of that up to that man that's going to teach you and lead you and guide you, and he gives him a revelation of what's in the book. Let me hurry. I don't think I'm going to make it but about an hour. I'm going to share something with you. And I don't like doing what I'm fixing to do. I haven't done this but just a few times, a couple of times. I got a daughter that's 53 years old. She's backslid. Her daughters are backslid. Their daughters are backslid. And we were at their house one day. And I was sitting in a chair right here. And right here, there's a doorway going into the other room. And she was just standing up there in that doorway, my daughter was. I turned around and I looked at her. And I said, "Mandy, where are you going, baby?" And she broke down and started crying, tears just running out of her eyes. And she said, "Daddy, where I'm at is not your fault." She said, "You and Mama raised me right. You raised me in church. You raised me in a godly home." And she said, "This is not y'all's fault." But she said something that shocked me to the core. And it's the truth. All she did was told me the truth. She said, "Daddy, I've always loved the world. She said, that's why I can't live for God. I love the world. She was raised in church. Sung, I was pastored. I'd be going like this if I got ready to do something, you know, just turn to her. I didn't have to tell her what song to sing. She knew what to sing. She knew how to follow God. But she got crossed up and fell in love with the world. And that's why she's not here today. Let me tell you something. You better hate the world. Let me give you the secret tonight. And it's not a secret to everybody, about living for God. If you want to live for God, let me tell you what you do. You listen to what this man says. And you learn the things that God hates and you hate them. And you learn the things that God loves and you love what God loves and you hate what God hates. And you're going to be a perfect candidate for heaven. But you can't love God one day and the world the next. And vice versa. You got to fall in love with it and get rooted and grounded in truth. Get settled in truth. You know, you can go, and I know I'm probably just shooting a scatter load tonight. But, so Bible talked about the sowers that went out and sowed seed, and it talked about those that had no root within themselves. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, some people don't have it in them to live for God. Yeah. Don't end up being one of those. No. But have some root in you, get rooted and grounded and fall in love with truth. Yeah. If this man preaches it over this pulpit, and you say this is your church, you're a hypocrite if you don't obey him.
All right. Amen.
Brother Wirtz, is this the way you believe it?
Come on.
I knew it is. Yeah. Fall in love with truth.
Yeah.
And you'll find that living for God's a joy.
Yeah.
It's not a commandments of do's and don'ts. It's let me do it. Teach me how to live holy. Teach me how to live godly. Teach me how to walk pure.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'm closing. I got two more pages of notes. Psalm 73, let's stand. Musicians, come, please. Psalm 73 and 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw. Get your eyes in focus. When you see things wrong, it messes you up. Even Job said, my eye hath affected my heart. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, get your eyes off of Trump. He's I don't mix politics. I'm just telling you. We sure didn't have nothing else. I sure didn't have my eyes on Biden. And if that offends you, you need this altar open. Praise the Lord. Get your eyes off of politics. Get your eyes off the wars and rumors of wars. You know what? It ain't going to happen yet. It ain't going to happen yet. But it's all lining up to happen. Don't get out of focus. Don't get your eyes on the world and the things that are going on out there. Keep your eyes on God. When I thought to know this, he got his eyes on people. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went to the sanctuary of God. And there I understood therein. There I saw what was right. Tonight, church, let me encourage you. Just live for God. Try your best to make this man the best saint he's got. If he preaches to you and says something's wrong, let me tell you something. Apostolic preachers would be fools to preach what we preach if it wasn't true. If it wasn't necessary to be saved. Why would he get up here and name things? Why wouldn't he just say things that make you feel good, make you feel happy, and try to have a big church? But he's got a burden of God on his heart. If you'll obey what this man tells you, you'll be saved. And that's what this is all about tonight, is being saved. Did I help anybody here tonight? Why don't we just come together around the altar a little while? Ask God to clear your vision. Ask God to let you see things clearly. God, bring me into focus. Let me focus my eyes on truth and holiness and godliness, so I can be saved. The Bible talks about the ministry when they're preaching. It says, considering the end of their conversation. The end of all of this preaching is you're not going to hell. You're going to make it to heaven. Let me challenge you tonight. If you know of anything that you're doing that this preacher preaches against, why don't you be man and woman enough tonight to lay it down and live for God? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I hope I helped you tonight. God bless you in Jesus' name.